is how we do it. Yeah, yeah. Bill collectors knocking on your door. Sometimes you don't know if you can fight for more. Sometimes you can't figure out what you're fighting for. But I know, yes I know, because I've been
can be hard. Sometimes you don't have no money to pay the owner for the yard. But the time gets so tough, not even nickel make a muckle. And time gets so hard, not even muckle make nickel. With your walk on the street, with pants of a tear. So say you see, them just don't care. But when Jesus comes, I want to be rid of my anger. Let up my hand and say, God, see me here because I can see it.
Good morning, good morning. Father God, as we come before you this morning, just want to say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You are so, so good. I want to thank you for all those texts and emails from people that you touched last night. And God, I want you to help the body of Christ understand that even although we are a little afraid, and it might be it might even be a little bit painful when we have to do something, excuse me, that we've never done before. But help us to understand that that's called growth and spiritual maturity. And help a lot of people understand that it's not easy to go where you've never been before, but yet and still you know you got to make the journey. So this morning, I guess I just want to say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And help us. Help us know you are Lord. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I want you to open your Bible this morning to Psalm 51. Psalm 51, verse 6. Psalm 51 and 6. If somebody can post that in the chat room. Psalm 51 and 6. Psalm 51 and 6. Brothers and sisters, I want to share this with you. I just finished typing it, by the way. I've been up. I didn't even have any problem waking up or getting up or anything. So we know it's a new time, new frame of mind. I think I was supposed to talk about those mindsets one day this week. I don't know. But anyway, can somebody post it on here in this chat room for me? Psalm 51, 6. Thank you, Jennifer R. Psalm 51:6 says, "Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom." Now, don't anybody misquote me this morning. There's a minister I used to know, and this minister used to always say to me when I was at ORU, he used to say, "Erica, don't forget that we are God's skin on." We are God with skin on. And I never could get it exactly. And I would just say, okay. And he would always, every time he would see me, he would say, "Don't forget, Erica, we're God with skin on." Now, this is not to say we're trying to be God and rustle up perfection. It's not trying to say that at all. But what he was trying to, I don't hear anything on Spreaker. Well, let's see why. Let's see. What about now? Oh, shoot. Can you hear me on Spreaker? I really probably shouldn't have done that. Let me see. Let me see what's happening. You cannot hear my voice, right? You still hear the music? Okay. I knew I probably shouldn't have messed with this thing last night. What about now? Oh. Can you hear my voice on Spreaker? No. What about now? Nothing. Oh, I see. Because I, you know what? I'm looking at the monitor. It's not working. Output. Nope. Let me try something. Because you know what? I don't have a large message, but I have something very important to say this morning. It's kind of like, so that's what was happening last night. Hello? Hello, hello, hello. Somebody was messing with my You have it on speaker now. What I might have to do, oh boy. Wait a minute. Let's see. Two episodes. Hold on a second. I'm going to okay, let's try to see what, okay, August 29th. Okay. Just hold on 1 second. Yes. Yes. Just hold on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I might have to go to manage. I might have to take this thing off. Change. Well, it seems like a lot of people like that, and so they like that demons. Okay, let's delete it. Yeah. Okay, I disabled it. Now let me see what's happening. Hold on. Okay, I'm live here. Can you hear me now? Okay. I got to put this. Let's see. Not on speaker.
I've been afraid. I've been a fool. But you never leave me. I've been ashamed, so far from you, but you always find me.
Can you hear the music on speaker?
So deep.
I hear you on speaker. Can you hear my voice? Nope, the monitors are not moving. Can you hear me on speaker? Talking. No. Let's see. Can you hear me talking now? Nope. Don't see the monitors moving. I tell you what I might have to do. I may have to, let's see. I might have to just go ahead. Can you hear me now? No. Can you hear me now?
I may have to go ahead with the blog talk this morning because I got to get this message out. I have to. But I know why the enemy doesn't want this one out there. No, 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 no. You know what? It messed up on me right after I got off last night. It wouldn't shut down. So I had to unplug it. I hate that. I had to unplug it. Look, on Spreaker, I'm going to take it all the way out and bring it all the way back because I've got to get this message out. I hope you understand what I'm doing. Today is September the 3rd. Hello? Hello, hello, hello. Hello? This is a mess here. Praise God. Oh, boy. How did this happen? Easy. Output. Can you hear me? Nope. What about now?
I'm fighting my anxiety, and it gets so heavy, cause it feels like I can't breathe. The person I'm supposed to be, I need to let go. I need you to remind my soul that you don't see me the way I see me. I need to let go.
Can you hear me on Spreaker? I don't see the, well, yeah, I see it moving now. I see the monitor moving. So can you hear? Oh, no, that's the music. Can you hear me on Spreaker now? Oh, all right. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I'm going to play the song I was saying. About this preacher. Right after the song, I'll be back right back with this message. I got everything working. Praise God.
Ever said that
never said I wouldn't fall. Never said that everything would go the way I want it to go. But when my back is against the wall and I feel all hope is gone, I just lift my head up to the sky and said, help me to be strong, Lord. I just can't give up now. I've come too far from where I've started from. Nobody told me the road would be easy, and I don't. I knew you didn't bring me out here to leave me lonely. Even when I can't be blessed, I know that you're with me, so I can't. I just can't now. I've come too far from where I started, Nobody told me the road would be easy, and I don't believe it was this hard to be me. I just can't give up now. Yes, I've come too far from where I started, wrong. Nobody told me the road would be easy, and I don't believe it brought me this far. I just can't feel come too far from where I started, from the Lord. Nobody told me the road would be easy, and I the road. You from the road to lead me.
As I said when I first came, my scripture is Psalm 51, verse 6. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. And then I told you about the preacher at ORU that would always tell me, don't forget, Erica, we're God with skin on. And we would laugh, and I'd go on about my business. So what I want to share with you this morning is the message that God gave me this morning. And as I was typing it up, see, when he was telling me that we're God with skin on, it wasn't to try to be God or to be perfect or anything like that. What he was reminding me of in his own way was about the most powerful tool, which is the love of God, and that gift of love, that baptism of love, that comes upon us when we're truly empowered in our human weakness,
by our relationship with Jesus. Throughout these 31, going on 32 years, I've experienced many, many, many different views, many misunderstandings, many hurts, many pains, many offenses, many rejections, and I've experienced any number of struggles just in trying to work with men and women of God. I used to feel like I had some kind of responsibility. I later found out it's called false responsibility. In wanting to believe that everyone was going to be saved, everyone was going to be healed, everyone was going to be delivered. And that it had something to do with me in my humanity of trying to help fix stuff. A long time ago, I had to learn that God is not afraid of people's messes. God, people's negative emotions and wrong attitudes and wrong responses, neither their words or their actions which come out of their mouth, God's not afraid of any of that. But one of my most important lessons in my walk with God, our Father, was to come to the understanding that people's mess, their garbage, has to be brought out into the light. You know, I've seen people come on the Ted line, and I watch when people come on the Ted line, and I pray. I've seen people come on the Ted line with the express purpose of taking other people off because they think that they build a ministry and they don't really understand about God having a household of faith. I've seen people come on ministry, and I've seen people come into other people's ministries. I've seen their ministries increase, and I've seen other people come into other people's ministries, and I've seen their ministries decrease. I can honestly say that sometimes it's then that I see God do his deepest work in people if they will allow him to. I've seen people come and I've actually seen people try to steal God's creative power. It's just crazy. I've seen people think they have to steal stuff from God. I've seen people in such deep deception by the enemy that I have seen people latch on to a false reality of the love of God. But you know what? Again, in some of those situations, those of us with skin on must keep in mind that bound people bind people. Are you hearing me? Can you put that up there? Bound up people bind up people. And the objective is you got to stay free. A bound up person is not going to bring anybody into the liberty and freedom of Jesus Christ. But you got to understand that working together with the love of God as our objective and the desire of freedom from the bondage of sin and its effects will allow us to be truthful and real about ourselves. When we are truthful and real about ourselves, then other people can be real and truthful and honest also. Now, I'm not saying this is easy. It isn't. Because not only is it not easy, it's painful. But if we allow the Lord, hallelujah, to bring his redemption, it's also powerful. You see, it's when we're able to invite our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Yeshua, when we're able to invite him into the situations, as we're seeking his help, when we're able to understand as children of God, we can go to our Heavenly Father, but we got to go to him in humility. We must go to him expressing to him the fact that we need his help. You see, the devil likes to use something. I call it pretense and unreality. Can you write those words? Pretense and unreality. He likes us to use our pretense and unreality because his plan is to keep us from the truth at all costs. Why? Because the devil knows when we're separated from truth, it will then birth mistrust and division in our relationships. Brothers and sisters, it's all about connection with Jesus and Jesus reconnecting us with God. And when this takes place, God's power and his life flowing through us. Now, the problem is the devil wants to keep us so full of pretense and unreality because he knows one thing. True freedom, true liberty, and true filling and refilling is only based on what truth and reality. Write those two words in the chat room or write them down. Truth and reality. And you see, we all need humility in order to allow God to do his work in us and God already knows, and we're supposed to know that it's the cross and it's the finished work of the cross, hallelujah, that Jesus accomplished, which is supposed to unite us. Why? Because we all need his love. Because we all need his forgiveness, and because we all need his redemption in our lives. You see, the Bible says, truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. Then he will say to those at his left hand, you that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they will also answer, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not take care of you, then he will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. That would be Matthew 25, 37 through 46. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey me. I want you to understand something this morning. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is not looking for you to come to him with a begrudging heart or patronizing help. Jesus Yeshua desires a relationship of joy with you and I. Jesus desires a relationship with pure love. It's the kind of love that we see reflected in the natural between a parent and a child. I want you to understand something this morning. We know God, and God knows us prayerfully. Not through our works of performance, but through our love and service, expressed in the role of serving and loving others as unto himself. The scripture says, oh, how good and how pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are one. They work together in relational harmony to bring about the plans and purposes of God's wholeness. When God made you and I, he made us in his image. God made us relational. God made us relational beings with a body, a soul, and a spirit. That'd be 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Each of these three parts designed by God to relate together with their own specific function and purpose in unity. In unity for the good of the whole person and for the good and the goodness of the whole body of Christ. God saw that it wasn't good for man to live alone. That's Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. And so God provided a helper and a companion in woman. And God designed a procreation for the purpose of setting people in family. You see, it was the Father's plan for us to have a home, a place to belong, and for us to have security. This, in turn, is supposed to prepare the way for our spiritual home with him in eternity. John 14, 2. Listen this morning. Jesus, in his coming to earth, demonstrated family and unity. There were times when Jesus needed to be alone with his heavenly Father. But our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ placed himself among those he knew and loved as family, and among those people with whom our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ carried out our Father's plans on earth to become like they would be in heaven. Yes, there's a right place for solitude and for being alone with God. And for some people, it could be geographical or physical situations that make it impossible to be with others. But I want you to make note of something. Jesus sent his disciples out in twos. I said, Jesus sent his disciples out in twos. And it is not God's design for us to work completely independently or in isolation. Unity is part of God's plan to bring about his purposes in his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. When we receive Jesus into our lives, we become God's child. All of us, as his children, have become part of the family of God. In the healing and deliverance ministry, many people come for help. You know why most of them come? A lot of them anyway. They come because they have never experienced family. They come because they have never experienced belonging. They come because they have never had. Don't know what it feels like to have God's plan for family that has not been distorted and shattered. God is calling us to be a bridge and bringing people to the heart of God. God is calling for us to be a bridge and bringing people into his truth, about the benefits of belonging, about the benefits of family. You see, in this fallen world that we live in, there doesn't seem to be many ideals for people to grab a hold to or stand on. But I want to share something with you this morning. The heart of God our Father is yearning for his children to know him in the core of who they are. He's yearning for people to know him in all of life's outward and inward circumstances. He's yearning for people to know his protection, his safety, and his peace. This, brothers and sisters, in essence, is true healing. Is true deliverance. You see, please, 8 people, write this in the chat room. The family of God was designed by God. Can you write that? The family of God was designed by God to be a demonstrable unit of himself. Brothers and sisters, working in unity for one purpose. One purpose. Modeling who he is as Father. So what do we call this? Why don't you put this word up there? Maybe 8 people, you kind of slow this one. Joint purpose. Joint purpose. joint purpose. The family of God was designed by God to model his joint purpose so that we can all experience God's anointing and God's blessings. God is not looking for a guru individual who one person holds all the giftings and anointing. God our Father, Jesus his Son, and God's own Holy Spirit, they know that no single human person has the capability of even containing all of God's giftings and anointing. No single human person has this capability. If they did, then they would be God. God is looking for those who are willing to work together with him and with each and every one of us to carry out his will on earth. The Apostle Paul describes the family of God here on earth as the body of Christ. Can you write that down? The body of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. God's looking for a unified body. The head can't steal nothing from the elbow. The elbow can't steal nothing from the ear. The eyeball can't steal nothing from the kneecap. The spine can't steal nothing from the ears. We are joined to God by Jesus through the power of his own Holy Spirit. We're joined to Jesus Christ as the head, and we're joined to each other as a necessary and valuable part of the wholeness of God. Part of the body of Christ is vital. If the body of Christ is to work as it's intended to do, if the body of Christ is to become a reflection of who our Heavenly Father is. In fact, Paul the Apostle explains in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16, that when each separate part works as it should, the whole body grows and builds itself up in love. Unity in the spirit, unity in the natural, unity with God our Father, Jesus his Son, and his own Holy Spirit provides the environment where God's love is expressed and demonstrated. You see, brothers and sisters, when you pray for people with deeply broken lives, who have never known a true model of love until they can first and foremost realize and come back into unity with God only comes through truthfulness and realness about ourselves, which in turn gives those broken and hurting people permission to be real about themselves. Stand something in God's sight. Each of us are different. We may have differing emphasis We may have differing experiences. We certainly have different abilities and upbringings. And we certainly have different expressions. This is not interpreted by God as bad. Hear me. God knows each one of us is sinful and inherently fallible. Yet, in his heart, in God's heart, overriding this is the truth. What is the truth, Erica? Each one of us is precious to him. And each one of us has something valuable to bring to the whole body of Christ. Yes, we all have blind spots and a heart full of all kind of gook. But you see, God's nature, full of mercy and justice. And that being the case, God exposes these things to us. And God helps us to change. But you know what? He uses other people to do this. And sometimes this puts us in uncomfortable situations and uncomfortable places. Why does God do this? He does it so that you and I are faced with what's truly in our own hearts. Hear me this morning. If the body of Christ is going to be a true expression of the healing heart and the love of God, then we all need to learn this one important lesson. This is the lesson. God requires truth in the innermost parts of our hearts. Psalm 51 and 6. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, in the hidden part. Thou shalt make me to know wisdom. God requires truth. Otherwise, we won't reflect truth. And the world will be able to rightly say we're hypocritical. Brothers and sisters, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. I might add, love. Not as the world knows it. Not Eros love. I'm talking about love without conditions. Unconditional. Agape love. You gotta love. Because God is love. And if you are to be a demonstration of God on this earth, everything of God works by love. Everything.
I wrote a little song thinking about the love of Jesus Christ. It was a little something like this.
How can a man say he loves God when he never sees? But his brother whom he sees, there it is. We must return.
Today, I want you to utter these words. Help me love, Jesus. I receive your baptism of love, but now it's up to me. Help me love. Help me love. Because see, when you got the real thing, you got love.
I've got
I was trying to type, I got the real thing, the love of Jesus. Predicated upon the love of God, making you a real demonstration of the will of God on earth. I ask you to ask God today, help me love Jesus. I got to love my enemies. I got to love those who love me. I got to love those who despise me. I got to love those who are trying to kill me. Help me to love, Jesus, the way you love. See, it's simple. Just tell them, help me to love the way you love. And when I can love the way you love, I got this thing under my belt. Why? Because God is love. Jesus is more love. And the Holy Spirit is that love flowing. Flowing, flowing, flowing. The scriptures say, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. Help me to love. Help me love, Jesus. Help me to love. By then, all men will see what the real thing is.
Brand new. Thank you.